Thanksgiving is coming up, so we've got a Thanksgiving message today. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5. Oh, and I want you to see this. I was able to do this. I'm very impressed with myself. Oh my gosh. No, I did it all by myself. I tell you what, it was a job. And then I didn't think that I got it working, and then all of a sudden it worked. It's just like computers. So, this was the proclamation made by Governor William Bradford in 1623. This was 3 years after the Pilgrims had settled at Plymouth. He wrote, "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, had granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, here there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." And if you know much about the Pilgrims, it was pretty tough for them for you know, the first few years, and yet they were so thankful to their God because they were able to come to a country and freely worship the way they wanted, and that was really what the whole thing was about. Thanksgiving, coming up this Thursday. Everybody's got the turkey thawing, right? No? Better get it started. The Pilgrims set aside from their busy schedule this special day of thanks. You know, and there's a lot. As far as Thanksgiving itself, Abraham Lincoln really was the one that first really made it official, but it kind of happened here and there. There's definitely different, you know, leaders in our country that have made similar statements about Thanksgiving and setting aside a special day to give thanks. But really what it should be is a continual daily Thanksgiving, not just once a year, and just to have this attitude. Ephesians 5, starting in the second half of verse 18, Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in fear of Christ." And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit." So Paul here talking about praise and thanksgiving. Always, continually, in everything, give thanks. Now there in Ephesians, it seems like Paul's talking about a church service, doesn't it? But he isn't necessarily. You know, speaking to one another and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. What he's talking about is a continual attitude as a believer in Christ, that we're to have that heart of thanksgiving and gratitude always, being thankful for each other and to each other and to God. But how do we do that? How do we be thankful in everything? That's the hard part. Well, it has to do with your perspective. Young lady wrote home from college. She says, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written you sooner, but my arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped out of the second floor of my dormitory. We had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. I must admit, however, I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as we can get a soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get a chance. Love, your daughter. P.S. None of the above is true. I got a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to have the proper perspective." Sometimes it's good to read the end before the beginning. But... So having that proper perspective in our circumstances, that we can give thanks in everything. And it starts with attitude. And there are three things that will steal away our gratitude. The first one is pride. The first one is pride. This attitude that says, well, you know, I've kind of done this myself. I've worked hard. You know, I've gone to school, I've studied, and now I have this great job. You know, it's all the stuff that I've done. When in reality, our very breath is from God. Or a critical spirit. Instead of being grateful, this person will always find something to complain about. There was a lady with an incurable grumbler, constantly complained about everything. At last, her preacher thought, aha, I found something which she should be happy about, for her crop was the finest in miles around. When he met with her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be very happy. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." "True, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need to have bad ones to feed to the pigs?" Yep. Being grateful. The next one is carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, some of you probably heard this before, if they've only came out once a year, we would stay up all night and watch them, right? We would look at them. But we have them every night, so we get used to it. And we don't really think about how awesome it is. The Israelites, when they came out of Israel, or out of Egypt, sorry, they started to grumble to God because they were hungry. And so he says, all right, I'll give you manna. So every morning, except on the Sabbath morning, they had the manna there to feed them. All they had to do is go collect it and use it. Literally, they were seeing a miracle from God every day. But because of pride and carelessness and the critical spirit, they weren't all that thankful. And they continued to grumble and complain. If any nation ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it ought to be our nation. If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it ought to be Christians. His people. So let's look at three things that we can learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. First of all, we need to express thanksgiving to God. We need to be thankful to Him. Psalm 100 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart." And then David in Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." We should express our thanksgiving to God and to others always. In Luke 17, there's a story about some lepers. There's 10 men who have leprosy. And Jesus heals them. Only one out of the 10 comes back to Jesus to thank Him. And he, being a Samaritan, And Jesus asks him, so where's the rest of the guys at? He was the only one that came back to say thank you. And Jesus' response to him at that point is, go, your faith has made you well. Because it wasn't just about the physical healing, it was about the spiritual healing. That this leper understood what had happened to him. It wasn't just this physical thing. God appreciates our thanksgiving. It lifts him up and it glorifies him. You know, you think about we who are believers in Jesus Christ, if we have this grateful, thankful attitude all the time, it shows. And people see that. And it glorifies God because really that's where our thanksgiving comes from, is from him. It draws us closer to him. We see the opposite in Romans 1:21. Paul writing here says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. The implication here is because of their pride, because of their unthankfulness, they were driven away from God. We need to express our thanksgiving to others also. Being truly thankful to other people. Psychologists today say that gratitude and thanksgiving is one of the healthiest human emotions. A thankful heart endures us to others and others to us, when we're truly thankful. We should expand our thanksgiving also. So there's three things where we expand it. The blessings of life. You know, I really love my wife. She's a very special lady. And she is truly a blessing in my life. One of the things that I really and blessed about her is, you know, she can stand in the midst of our house and it looks like a bomb went off and she's thankful for it. Well, okay, maybe not really, but but you know what? We should be thankful for those things because there's stuff to be messy. There's dirty dishes to be in a sink. You realize that about two-thirds of the world, they go to bed hungry and thirsty every night. We are blessed beyond what we realize. There's a book that came out, I think it was a few years ago, 1,000 Gifts, is that what it was called? And the challenge in that was to write 3 things you were grateful for, or 3 gifts that God had provided you every day for a year. Is that right? Specifics. You know, a lot of times we will say, well, God, thank you for all your blessings. Well, but what are those? You know, sometimes it's good to list. Because I'll bet you have a prayer list, right? You have the list of all the things you pray for. Well, what about a list of all the things you're thankful for? Truly being thankful. Then the burdens of life. Can we truly be thankful in those? That's hard. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in everything. Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks always. Now, Paul writing this, you know, it may well, gee, Paul, yeah, that was easy for you to say. No, it wasn't easy for Paul to say. Because Paul suffered some great difficulty. He had a thorn in the flesh that he had asked God to take away, and God said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't take it away. But he was also run out of town. He was beaten, whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by friends, naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked, stoned because of his faith. Yet Paul didn't quit giving thanks. In fact, in Romans 8:18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul was looking at that hope in the future, knowing that this present suffering won't even compare to what glory will be like. Paul had the proper perspective. In our weakness, God can show His strength. We're not necessarily thankful for the hard things, but we're thankful in the hard things. Although sometimes it's those hard things that really help us to grow. And it's a witness to other people too. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in jail. And what are they doing? Singing and praising God. And you know what it did? It brought salvation to the jailer and his whole family because of their attitude. Because they were still praising God even in the midst of their hard stuff. Others coming to Christ out of our difficulty. We need to realize how much God really has done for us. You know, our church has truly been blessed over the years. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to think about what God's done here in 40-some years. And so we should be willing to be a blessing in our giving. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift, and I'm sure that you have some of those in your life, is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights. You know, when you go out to a restaurant and you have good service, you know, you're willing to give a decent tip, 10, 15, 20%. Right? But for some reason, many people in the church have a hard time even giving God 10%. Of all the good gifts that we've received, shouldn't we show our gratitude in how we give? So a growing Christian and a giving Christian and a glowing Christian, and this is how people see you. If we're thankful to God, we should show it. It should show on us that we are thankful. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:8 talks about the hard stuff that happens. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. It's a really good passage for the last couple weeks. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is not seen. Henry Frost served as a missionary in China for many years. In his journal, he writes that there was a very difficult time came in his life. And he says, I had received sad news from home. And deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try Thanksgiving. I did. And in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return. Changed his perspective. In Psalm 92:1, it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praise to your name, O Most High God. So have you been through some difficult times, whether in the past or lately, and you've prayed about it and they're still there? Or maybe it's getting worse? As this missionary did, try Thanksgiving. Try Thanksgiving, being thankful in all things, not necessarily for the hard things, but in the hard things. We have heard the greatest news that there is in this world, that Jesus came as our Savior. That alone should cause us to live a thankful life. To be grateful that God loved us so much that he was willing to send Jesus Christ to this earth to die a horrible death to pay for our sin. And all we need to do is believe that. Let's pray. Father, it's easy to say, it's not always so easy to do, to be thankful in all things. But Father, I know those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit that can help us in those times. As your word says, there's times when we can't even express all that we're going through to you, and yet the Holy Spirit will take those things, those inner strugglings, and take them to you. And so, Father, help us in that, to in those hard times, to be thankful. To be thankful for our very life, the very breath that you've given us, the sunshine, the rain, this earth, our family. You know, the list can just go on. If we really start thinking about how we've been blessed, those things that we're thankful for. And so as we approach Thanksgiving this week, Father, help us to be that glowing Christian that just exudes thankfulness, maybe even in the midst of the hard stuff. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements to go through here. So today was the day that I had designated for you to turn in your giving card for the building fund. And so hopefully, some of you have already done that, which is awesome. So hopefully you're prepared to do that today. And there's cards out there too if you need another card. I've asked you to be praying the last couple months about what you might do there. We've got a congregational budget meeting coming up next month. And then the Christmas week schedule is in there. So because of how Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, it's a little bit different. So on Saturday, Christmas Eve, we're going to have service at 5 and 6:30, and that will be our service for the week. We will not have a service on Sunday morning. What that also creates is, because on Christmas Eve, normally that's when we do our benevolence giving specifically. So what we will do is we will have envelopes in the bulletin so that you can give regular giving and benevolence giving. So you can separate those out. And that's really where we get the bulk of our benevolence funds for the year. And then on January 1st, we'll have one service at 10:30. So all of you that partied all night, you know, a little bit later you can get here. So I know you're all a bunch of party animals, so... And then the other thing I want to continue to remind you is help with our children's ministry. You know, one of the things that to have our church continue is we have to have young families. And to have young families, we need good children's ministry. You know, we need to have people that are willing to be there and to help out. And so we're looking for people to help in children's ministry. You know, if we have enough people, you only have to do it maybe once a month or whatever, but we could really use some help there. And then also today is our Operation Christmas Child, bringing back the boxes today, and Lori will be out there, and you can talk to her if you have any questions on that. So God bless you all. Have a great Thanksgiving.